Check.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. At my house, the furnace isn't on, but I've got the nicest blanket that I use, so I know that blanket is calling me to come home and cuddle up in it. I'm just not used to fall weather yet. We have some announcements, so we're going to start off with that if everybody is gracious enough to listen to our... first of all, I wanted to sing some praises for us, our church family. In my mailbox in the office, I've gotten a couple of things that I wanted to share with you. The first is from the Redbird Mission. That is in Kentucky. It is a school that we sponsor through our mission program. And I was not aware of how big this was. I'm thinking, you know, a little small church somewhere with a school. They have a band program and dance programs, and they've got all kinds of projects for the young children. And one that I really thought was cute was the elementary students put on a musical drama. It was called The ABCs of Christmas and the 1-2-3s. Well, the student song shared scripture verses based on letters of the alphabet. The naughty numbers, who crashed the show, repented of their mischief ways and found the love of Jesus. And I thought that was really a cute thing that they did there. But I'd like to put this in the newsletter, if Mary, if we've got enough paper and we've got enough time. The second thing that I wanted to share with you is... as a reminder, we are gratefully recognized as contributing to the Heifers International. That was the where we got the heifer. So we now have a certificate of honor, and I wanted to share that with everyone because I think it's a good thing to share with our family, because it's all because of you, not because of one person. All of you contributing. And the other thing that I wanted to share with you, Karen and I wanted to share, Karen Pettis, she has a little note she'd like to read to us.
Okay, Susanna's making me read this. I just want to set the record straight here. This happened like 2 minutes ago. Thank you, Suzanne. You're so wonderful. Dear First United Methodist Women of Faith, thank you for your donation for a sweet sponsorship. We appreciate your gifts and support for the families that stay with us. We have included your group name on a framed acknowledgement and placed in client room number 5. Your donation helps cover the cost of one of the 16 beds at Eva's Place. The twin bed package includes a twin sheet set, pillow, comforter, and a set of towels, that makes more sense. We shelter about 140 people yearly. The frequent laundering of bedding seems to show fast. Thank you so much for helping Eva's Place. This is so, a set of sheets, because they change them, launder them so much, if they run out and they get a little threadbare. So this is to replenish some of the sheets. And I think it was Bev who brought this to our attention. Did you want to say something, Bev?
I just want to say that when these people leave, they get to take that with them, so it may not be the best.
That's right.
Or they have something to go with them.
That's right. In case you didn't hear, when somebody leaves Eva's Place, they get to take this set of sheets and towels with them. So thank you for supporting the various things that we do at this church, you know, the dinners, the garage sales and everything, because it is your money that is going to help others. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to know, it's good to be reminded that of all the good things that we do, maybe sometimes behind the scene, but we still do wonderful things for our community, whether it's in Sandusky or Senilac County, or whether it's in a foreign country where we've just sent a heifer to provide milk for a family. It's all good, and it's all because of your thoughtfulness and your love of God, and I appreciate all of it. Thank you. Amy has an announcement she'd like to make. And Debbie. You have an announcement, Debbie? Debbie does not have an announcement. But Debbie would love to come up and stand with us. This is kind of an impromptu today, if in case you hadn't noticed.
Okay, good morning, everyone. We met our discernment committee, and we counted the surveys that were passed out on July 16th. We had a total of 33 surveys come back. Deckerville had two surveys come back, both from two of their members. They voted, I hold a traditional view and cannot stay United Methodist if the policies and practices of the denomination do not align with a conservative view. And that was the Deckerville vote. We had 29 surveys come back. Two of our surveys, I hold a progressive view and want the United Methodist Church policies and practices across the denomination to align with a tolerant view and interpretation of Scripture. Three came back, I lean towards a progressive view and prefer to stay in the United Methodist Church. I can, however, respect perspectives that reflect more traditional interpretations of Scripture. We had one member that abstained. They hold neither a progressive or a traditional view, and they have no preference as to whether we stay or leave the United Methodist Church. We had 20 of our members that came back with their survey and said, I hold a traditional view and cannot stay in the United Methodist Church if the policies and practices of the denomination do not align with a conservative view. And we had 5 that said, I hold a traditional church view, but desire to remain United Methodist. So that was out of 33 surveys that we had returned. Because we've had so much, I don't know what better word to use than turmoil, we are offering 3 prayer services. The first one will be Thursday, this coming Thursday here in the sanctuary. This is only prayer, and it is worship, and it is hymn singing. The next 3, I think it's the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. They will be held here in the sanctuary. Pastor has agreed graciously to let us use it. And we just invite everyone to come. It's just for a time of healing, unity, and keeping our eyes on Christ. Thank you.
What time?
7 p.m.
And also, it's been on the screens, and of course it's in the bulletin, that everyone needs to attend on the 24th when the district superintendent is here. Make your list of questions so that you can ask what you need to ask. And that will be the last formal gathering, I believe, that we will have. But I believe at that time she probably will set up a date of when we will actually have a vote. So hopefully everyone can attend on the 24th. I don't know, Steve. It'll be it just depends. Right. But we've had. Right. Okay. And you can always ask the pastor. Okay. Well, get your questions made. I can't make any promises. We try to keep them at 90 minutes if we can. Okay. Well, plan on coming the 24th and we'll go from there. Okay? We're not going to argue today. Not today.
We are now on the air, and I'd like to make the announcements first to welcome our audience in the radio to the First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is Go, Make Disciples of Jesus Christ for the Transformation of the World. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing the morning message, and I am Suzanne Hickson, the worship leader for this morning. We did not get to birthdays and anniversaries, but I'd like to quickly go through some birthdays that we have this week for our family members. George Ross's birthday has a birthday. Bo Bowerman has a birthday, and Carrie Gentry and Caleb Brodom. So let's sing happy birthday to those. Now let's please quiet our minds and prepare our hearts for worship as our acolytes come and light our candles for worship. Thank you, Bert. Let's please stand if you're able, and we will sing our praise song, number 2068, I Love You, Lord. We'll sing it twice through. This morning, our call to worship, if you'll read the bold print, please. Are you hungry for a word of hope?
To be fed and nourished.
Are you yearning to see the boundary of God?
We long to see and believe.
Are you ready to witness the power of our God?
We are ready.
Come, let us worship.
Let us pray. Even when our faith falters, we will not let you go, O God. Even though we are ashamed of our lack of faith at times, we will not let you go, Lord. Because you meet us in our utmost need, we will not let you go. Strive with us until dawn, O Lord. We will not let you go. We need your blessing now more than ever. We will not let you go. Amen and amen.
Please join us in our opening hymn, number 396, O Jesus, I Have Promised. may be seated. I have one other quick announcement. Our softball tournament game, Mother Nature has decided she was going to presume the schedule that it was going to be. Several of the games had been canceled because of the water coming down. This Monday, coming Monday, Countryside, at 7 o'clock, we will be having our championship game, softball game. So please come, bring a lawn chair, and cheer our team on to victory. Thank you. I will go right on. Yes. Our reading today comes from the Old Testament, Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. Jacob wrestles with God. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled, but yet he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we call upon your holy presence here this day, your Holy Spirit that can be felt in this room. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us your word today, for bringing us your scriptures that we can read and we can examine. And we thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts every single day. You never leave our side. Lord, for each and every person that's here, every family that's represented, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that for all of those that are listening in, we ask that you would bless each one. Lord, because I know our willingness to be used by you, our willingness to be vessels for you, are so very important in your ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be used in whatever small way that we might be able to help you out, that we might be able to share your good news, that we might be able to be a help to someone in need. We thank you for the mission and ministry that you have allowed us to be able to do from this church. Lord, you, I know, have touched so many lives over the years by the kindness and generosity from folks here. So we ask, Lord, that we can continue to being used as your vessels, inspired by your word, inspired by your touch and your embrace, Lord. We ask for your wisdom as we continue to pray and
seek your will in the lives of our families, in the lives of our church. Lord, we thank you for your ministering touch today, for giving us a good word, for never leaving our side. Lord, you allow us to come before the altar here in this sanctuary, and we might pray directly to you. We don't have to go through any other means. We can call upon your name at any time, day or night, and you hear us, and you make us your priority. You hear every petition, even if it's a breath prayer. You hear us cry out to you. You hear us call upon your name, Lord, and you touch our hearts and help us to know that we're not alone in this journey. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this day. For all of those that are under the weather today, and I know there's several that have whatever it is that's going around, this touch of the flu, we pray, Lord, for those that aren't able to be here. Lord, we know that you touch us where we are. And we're all in a different place, Lord, in our walk with you. But you love us all the same, and we are so grateful, Lord, just to be in your presence today, just to see that you've brought us through the week. You've helped us. You've sustained us. You've nourished us. You've protected us. And we are blessed, Lord. So, Lord, come into this place right now. We ask for your cleansing. We ask for your healing. Give us your spirit, Lord. We love you. We long to honor you with our words and our actions. And so, Lord, in doing so, we remember the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. We continue to pray through the week for the Sanilac County Youth and 4-H Fair that'll be taking place, and we look forward to enjoying that. The New Testament reading today is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Matthew 14, starting with verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, and what he's referring to there is the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down in the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Amen and amen. Long time ago, over 20 years ago, well before I was a minister, my pastor came to me and asked me if I would be interested in going to a conference with them. And it was kind of a where you could go in and you could either take a class in one room, or there were different things offered. And I Hollis was working, and I thought, okay, I will do that. So I went with a pastor and his wife and another lady from our church, and I had no idea really what I was going to, but it was over in Lansing. It was at one of the big expo centers over there, what it was called at the time anyway. And when we walked in, you were either directed to go into one of the seminars in one of the side rooms, or you could go in this other room where there was going to be working on some music. And I am a lover of music, and that's where I chose to go, and the rest all chose to do the same. So we walked into this very, very large auditorium, and there were just literally thousands of people in there, way larger than group I had ever been involved in or been a part of before. And they handed us each a big cantata book, quite thick, and they said, we're going to be working on this, and we're going to present it at the end of the day. And I'm thinking, oh my word, how in the world is that going to happen? Getting through that, all of that music and presenting it so that it sounds wonderful, hopefully, at the end of this time, how is that going to happen? And so I just, I came in with my booklet, where they sectioned us off into different places, and we began this rehearsal. And again, in my humanness, in my brain, I'm thinking, you know, when we practice with our choir, we're practicing for weeks on end or months on end before we present a cantata at Christmas time or at Easter. I don't know how we're going to do this in a few hours. So again, doubting whether that was going to happen or not. But yet, going along with the program nonetheless. We wonder as well about how in the world Jesus could take those two fish and those five loaves and stretch them out to feed that many people. Now, we know God can do anything God wants to do, but we marvel at all of those leftovers, don't we? 12 baskets full, and I would venture to guess that on the edge of this pulpit, I could have put those fish and loaves, and you could have seen them all, and yet not imagine that they would feed 5,000 folks, and as we have just heard in Scripture, probably many more than that if you add on the women and the children to go along with that. How many people did Jesus really feed at the end of the day? A whole lot of people. In my history as well, you know, we'll have a funeral luncheon, and it's really hard to, anybody who's ever been in charge of anything like that knows it's almost impossible to come up with a number. You never know exactly how many people might come, and many times a lady in charge will say, oh my goodness, I hope we have enough. And we like to remind each other that we've never not had enough, that God has always made a way for there to be enough. God made a way this day for that to be enough for these 5,000 plus folks. I've wondered before at the compassion Jesus had to muster up for the crowds that afternoon. He was grieving. He was grieving for a beloved family member that had come before him. And you know the story. John the Baptist came before him to prepare the way for Jesus. And he did all of the hard things that needed to be done to introduce this Messiah that was yet to come. He lived a humble life, but he was bold in his faith, and he was bold in his word. And now this man, his life was eliminated, and we know that Jesus had to be grieving. John the Baptist wasn't only his cousin, but his friend as well. It's amazing to think about all the people he must have healed, the amount of people that he taught or sat down to and just listened in the midst of his grief that day. And I've always wondered what it was that he said to himself when he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke that bread before doing what he did with it. But the disciples were there too. And while it's easy to wonder about all of the other stuff, to focus on the size of the crowds and the lack of the food and the miracle of it all, I found myself thinking about the disciples as well. It had been such a long day, and they're human after all. We know Jesus was tired, but they had to be exhausted as well. Come on, Jesus, time's up. Let's lose this crowd. Let's get something to eat. These people are probably hungry, ready to get some food for themselves anyway. Let's get them out of here so we can do the same. And in the face of their questions, in response to their doubts, in spite of this attitude that they're having, this wearisome attitude, whatever it might have been for them, Jesus says, you give them something to eat. What do you mean, feed them? Maybe you haven't noticed, Jesus, but there's like 5,000 people here on this hill, and all we brought with us, all we have here is these little fish and these few loaves of bread. You give them something to eat. The miracle's a good one, and it makes a really great lesson for us. But today we're going to focus not only on this prayer that Jesus prayed, but on these disciples that are trying to figure out how this is going to happen. Just like last week's gospel really wasn't just about the weeds, just about the good seeds, just about the gardening, or just about the growing. Today isn't really just about the fish and the bread or a picnic on the hillside. I think the good news in all of that, in this story of feeding of the 5,000, is found in Jesus' short and simple response to the disciples. You give them something to eat. Even when there looks to be no way, Jesus can and will make a way. Sure, the disciples are still skeptical, yet Jesus does whatever he does to make the food go as far as it did. But what he says and what the disciples do is even more profound, I think, and very powerful, if you ask me. You give them something to eat. Don't send them away. Don't look for a way out. Don't hope for someone else to do it. Don't wait for tomorrow even. You give them something to eat. And don't we sound and act like the disciples too much of the time? We don't have enough bread, whether it means time or money or energy or willingness or ability or faith or love or compassion or whatever. We're skeptical. We're pessimistic. We're preoccupied, distracted, uninspired, selfish even, insecure, unconvinced. Just like those disciples were that day. A lot of the time, if you're anything like me, you're just downright full of excuses. But just like the disciples in the gospel, Jesus gives them something greater than even our best excuses. He gives us more than just another miracle, too. He gives us something better even than bread and fish to chew on. Jesus reveals to us just what a high opinion he has of us. Not only of the lost and lonely, the sick and needy people on the hillside that day, for whom he shows so much compassion. But Jesus reveals to us what a high opinion God has of those who believe in and who want to follow him so faithfully. What I hear Jesus saying that day, then and now, don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't pretend you don't have the time or the skills or the resources to do God's bidding in the world. Don't pretend you're not qualified or capable. Don't put off for another day or time or moment when it might be more convenient. Don't even wait for me to do it in your place. It always amazes me that scripture in Matthew that says, you will do even greater things than I. Go make disciples of Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to even imagine that we could do anything greater than the Lord, but with the Lord, we can do anything. There is no limit. There is no limit to what we can do. The things we think we're not capable of doing, and we might even verbalize we're not capable of doing, are possible when Christ is with you and in you. You give them something to eat. Isn't there some way each of us might feed someone too? Maybe it's a coworker you know who could use a hand or some encouragement. Maybe it's a neighbor who's having a hard time. Maybe it's something even around here helping out in some way in your church. We can't pretend any longer that we aren't capable or qualified or called even to respond to the needs around us. And let's not wait for Jesus to do it all by himself. We are vessels to be used by him. We should always be amazed by this story. Let's wonder about the miracle of Jesus, but let's think about our mission here too, as a congregation, as an individual, followers as well of Christ. Let's hear Jesus' command to give the world something to eat. And let's realize that we have all we need to make that happen. That's because of God's love for us. We are called and capable of doing the work of Christ in and for the sake of the world. And when we do, there will be more than enough of that love and grace and hope to go around with leftovers besides. Isaiah 43:19 says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Which goes back to my original story, because the song we sang in that cantata is, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And that was life-changing for me at that time in my world, in my place. Because I don't think I was in a good place at all, not even close. But God made a way when there seemed to be no way, and I will never forget that. Those words are beautiful. In fact, I am going to share with you right now, some of you probably know or have heard of Don Moen. He's written a lot of worship music for Maranatha Music. And he's just a wonderful creator. And I want to share with you this in two different places here. All right.
Wake up, achievers. This is a next level bed for next level you.
We got to listen to the commercial first here, I guess. Okay. Commercials with everything, right?
When I wrote the song, God Will Make a Way, I wrote it for a tragic situation in my family. My wife's sister and husband had been traveling with their family on the way to Colorado to have a ski vacation when their van was broadsided by an 18-wheeler. All four of the boys were thrown out of the van. and three were seriously injured, but Jeremy, the oldest, was killed instantly. And when I heard that news, I can't tell you how helpless I felt. All the words that came to my mind to say to Susan and Craig that day seemed to fall short of what I really wanted to say. All the scriptures that came to my mind didn't seem to be the right ones. And I had to get on the airplane the next day. I was reading in my Bible from Isaiah chapter 43, how God will make a way, a roadway in the wilderness and a river in the desert. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Don't remember the former things. Behold, I will do something new, and now it will spring forth. I will make a roadway in the wilderness and a river in the desert." And as I was sitting on the plane that day, I just asked the Lord to give me something to say to them at the funeral, something that would bring them hope in a hopeless situation. And in that moment, God gave me a simple song, which has become one of my most well-known songs. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He'll make a way for me. And I know that that one phrase is a phrase that God gave me to say to Susan and Craig that day. He works in ways we cannot see. And maybe you need to hear that same phrase today. This song was written in a desperate situation, but it's not a song of desperation. It's a song of declaration. God will make a way, and he'll make a way for you today. No matter what you're going through, you just have to believe that even though your bank account may not look good, the doctor's report may not sound good, God is still working in ways that you cannot see, and he is able to make a way where there seems to be no way.
Sometimes I just want
to run a car. Well, you get the picture here of all of that. That was the song that I had the privilege of being able to be part of a choir that was probably over 10,000 people in this huge, huge auditorium.
and it was, as I mentioned before, life-changing. I was telling him in Deckerville today that, if I could get this back in my ear, I was telling him in Deckerville that as this continued to build, and of course the chorus just kept going, God will make a way, and it kept getting louder and louder as it progressed. And before we, unbeknownst to me, before we left, each church was supposed to bring a banner, and we have beautiful banners here. We're to bring a banner representing your congregation, and there were congregations. This was non-ecumenical. It was, you know, churches from all over, and every denomination, and they were to bring a banner from their church. And we had brought a banner, but evidently there was a miscommunication, and pastor thought that it was just they were going to be hung somewhere, and that was not the case. As this continued to go with the chorus, there were trumpets that began playing, and it was a grand procession coming in from the back, and all of these banners were lifted up on poles. Well, we didn't have a pole, and you know, we're finding out that's what's going to happen. And the pastor's wife said, well, you know, I just saw a resale shop a couple of doors down on our lunchtime. Let's go down to that resale shop. And I'm thinking, what are they going to find in the resale shop that's going to help us in this situation? And sure enough, she came back. And I imagine it was a broomstick. I don't even know. A mop handle, something. And so as this grand procession is coming in, all of these beautiful, beautiful banners are coming in. And some of them had gold poles with elaborate golden crosses at the top. Some of them were just grand. And here we come in with our mop handle banner. I'll never forget that. This is not working, folks. Anyway, we came in, and I guess the irony in all of that was that whether we're gold-plated or whether we're a wooden stick, we all come before the Lord with whoever we are, whatever we are, and he loves us anyway. And we came in with that mop handle and our banner before the Lord. Maybe that's what I'm going to look like when I come before him someday. I don't know. What do you think about yourselves even, you know? How are we going to present ourselves? I don't think I can help at all. Struggling with this thing every... Thank you. Thank you, babe. We struggle in life, don't we? And all of those grand gestures or the most simple and humble of births like our Savior had. Those most simple and humble presentations all come before the Lord, and he honors us. He honors us by being able to sing his praises. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. In the toughest of situations, seems to be God's specialty. And aren't we thankful for that? God has it all figured out so we don't have to worry. He's working on our behalf even when we can't see it at all. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and whatever we walk through, he can cut a clear pathway through anything. And in seemingly hopeless situations where we can't see any way out, God's power has the opportunity to shine the greatest. It's in those particular times when we come to the end of ourselves, where we know we can't depend on our own abilities, on anything that we have or anyone that we know, but instead are reminded that we are totally and completely reliant on Christ. It's in those times that are the most powerful of all. That was a life-changing event for me. not only learning those words, but be able to remember them years and years and years later, that when I need to draw on that, I will know that God's going to make a way when there seems like there isn't one. I don't know if you've ever had that experience or not, where you think, how can this ever turn its way around to be anything that amounts to anything? And then God shows up. Actually, he's been there the whole time, but he shows himself to us. God will make a way. In those hopeless situations where we can't see any way out, we know that we can depend, in those times, we can't depend on our own selves. We're reminded that we are totally and completely reliant on Christ. It's those times that are most powerful in your life. He can make a way through the wilderness and cause streams to rise up, bringing refreshing, even in the desert times, as Scripture tells us. He can split the sea, move the mountains, or any barrier before us, and allow us to walk through on dry ground. He can conquer any giant and bring victory to his children. He can close the mouths of lions, providing safety. He can open prison doors, setting us free. He can protect us from the flames of adversity. He can carry us through any storm. He's the God of miracles. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 28:20 says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And we hold fast to that today, that he is with us to the very end of the age. Let us pray. Lord, help us make a way. We know that we can do anything with your help. We ask for your blessing, continued blessing on this day and each day after. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can have our special music at this time.
Remember me.
Let's prepare our hearts now to receive Holy Communion. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread and he gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so today, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Lord, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Then he lifted the cup and said, "This is my blood that was shed for you. This is a symbol of the new covenant. I'm making all things new." And so we receive that forgiveness today that he offered up so generously and so freely by his act of giving it all.
May our gifts become loaves and fish for those who hunger. May our offerings become love and light for those who feel lost and afraid. Bless our lives and our ministries, that we may be a people who share our abundance with those who live in want. In our living and in our giving, may the world be fed and made whole again. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 451, Be Thou My Vision. The hand that leads us to a land flowing with milk and honey. We go with God's blessings. We are blessed by the one who heals our wounds and makes us whole. We go with the blessings of the one who meets us face to face. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie in our closing.